Good morning. If you would, turn your hymnbooks to page 791. 791. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
What a song of divine in a city so bright, will be wafting these heavens back home. How the ransomed will raise and something is praised when all of God's sinners get home. When all God's sinners get home.
Let us pray. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we humbly bow coming to you this morning, Father, thanking you first and foremost, Father, for another day of life. We thank you so much, Father, for getting us up this morning, Father, allowing us to get clothed and being able to come and being able to assemble on this day, Father, to hear another portion of thy word, to sing praises unto your name, to remember you, remember your son Jesus, with the taking of the Lord's Supper. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning in this service, Father, is decent and in order and pleasing unto thee. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will just continue to guide us, Father, as we go through the rest of this service. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will continue to bless and guide the leadership of this congregation, Father, that they will continue to do the things, Father, that you would have them to do. Father, at this time, Father, we ask for comfort, Father. We ask for comfort for those, Father, who was mentioned who are sick, Father, for Sister Tiffany, for Sister Shirley Stanley, for those that Sister Charmaine had mentioned, Father, and many, many other, Father. We ask those that are sick, Father, that you will continue to find comfort for them, Father, that you continue to bless them, O Lord. Father, we ask that you will continue to bless, Father, and comfort those who are bereaved, O Lord, Father, that let them know, Father, that you are there, Father, that you are there for comfort, O God. We ask for this in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we ask that you will bless Brother Skippy this morning, Father, as he brings a message, Father, that is any of this in our stead today, Father, that if they need to help his words, guide them to get closer to you, Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to let us know, Father, that you have control, Father, that you are in charge, O Lord, that regardless of what's going on in this world, Father, that you have a plan, O God, and to keep us mindful of that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask at this time that you will forgive us of our sins, Father, both known and unknown, Father, that we strive to get closer to you, O Lord, that you know that our hearts are with you, Father, that you will continue to guide us in the name of Jesus. Father, again, we ask that you hear our prayer. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn books to page 344. 344. Sing verses 1 and 3.
Why can't the Savior have on thee and come to her below?
First 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17, it illustrates the opportunity that we, not just the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's also the opportunity to do it together, to show our unity. Christians can come together and partake of this Lord's Supper. You know, it's not a situation where you might have one individual and he's partaking of the Lord's Supper, or she's taking of the Lord's Supper for this reason, or this group of people are taking it for this reason. But this is a time for us to come together, and as Christians, and to partake of the Lord's Supper for the same exact reason. This is a time for us to all clear our minds and to reflect upon that sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus made on our behalf, the importance that it had for each and every one of us, and also to show our gratitude to our Lord and Savior for the opportunity of having eternal salvation. So at this time, as we partake of the two emblems, of course, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the fruit, or for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this opportunity to rise from our beds, to come together this morning, Heavenly Father, on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, and together, Heavenly Father, to partake of this Lord's Supper, to take of this bread, which represents thy Son's body. Pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that we clear our minds, that we reflect back on that cruel day on the cross, the sacrifice that thy Son made, becoming that perfect lamb without spot or blemish. And we pray as we partake of this bread that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask, in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If everybody's ready, let us at this time give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father in heaven, we indeed thankful unto you for the fruit of the vine which we have before us, so fittingly represents your Son's precious blood that was shed on the cross for the remission of sin. Each time we partake of it, we let our mind reflect back to that cross, meditating upon that precious blood that was shed at that time. May we always do it in a way that will be in accordance to your will. In Christ's name we do pray, and amen.
If you would, mark your hymnbooks to page 860. That will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 384. 384. Sing verses 1 and 3.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my savior. He tells me every care on him to go. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With a vanity, my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where will
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Acts. That's Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 26. I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" Brother Skippy.
Good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us, allowed us to be among those that are living this day to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. A wise eternal Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity you've given us to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning to study a portion of our true and divine word. Thank you for those who've taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we are about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and the things that we're going through. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, the things that we've fallen short of, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide us in your word. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to encourage each and every one of us. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. As we look in Acts chapter 27, what I want you to just imagine in your mind, imagine that you are locked up in heavy chains that's wrapped around your wrists and your ankles. You're a prisoner of the most terrible government in the world, the Roman government. You're standing on a dock, gazing up at the ship that you are about to board, when suddenly an awful sense of terror and fear washes over you like a wave of the sea. You sense strongly that this voyage is going to end in disaster and loss of life that it will proceed with. You grab the shirt tail of the captain of the guard as he walks by. He turns to you and you beg him not to set sail. You had a feeling that something is about to happen, and believe that if they proceed as planned, that all will be lost at sea and will not make it back alive. And as you are standing there, just then the owner of the ship and others tell him not to listen to your silly hunch. Besides, what are you doing listening to a prisoner anyway? And as you stand there, you are pleading your case, and it suddenly dawns on you for the first time how out of control you really are. You are in chains. You are a prisoner. You have no pull. You have no influence. You are not in charge. Somebody else is in charge. And instead of listening to you, the captain set sail and go to sea anyway. This is Paul's story. And because they did not listen to Paul's advice, they were now stuck in a bad storm. And because they are now stuck in a bad storm, and dangerous sea storm, they have now risked themselves and the ship for a shipwreck. But yet, in the midst of telling them that they are going to be shipwrecked, Paul also tells them, be of good cheer, because there will be no lost life in the ship. Yes, the ship will be torn asunder, but no one would die in the shipwreck. Now, you would think that this man is crazy, that the ship is going to tear up, but yet you say, be of good cheer. No loss will be lost that day. What you find here is that you see that God wasn't interested in saving the ship as he was interested in saving their souls. Because the ship didn't have a soul to be saved, but their lives did. You see, the ship can be replaced, but if you lose your soul, it cannot be replaced. Because Matthew 16 and 26 says, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And that's why I suggest to you this morning that we ought not put too much stock on material things. Because material things come and they go, and they can be replaced. But your soul, if you lose your soul, it's gone forever. So therefore, God is interested in saving your soul, and your soul is saved when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and when you have lived faithfully unto death. And so as we look at this text this morning, I want to share with you three things from this text, and this lesson is yours. If we're going to make it, Number one, there's a question that you need to ponder in your mind. And that question is, are you looking for a way through your storms or just a way out of your storms? You see, how many times have you found yourself in the middle of a difficult circumstance saying to yourself, I just want out. If I could just get away from this person, if I could just get away from this job, if I could just get away from this church, if I could just get away from this responsibility, then things will improve. One time, you remember King David found himself in the middle of a difficult situation, and he sang in Psalm 55, 6 through 8, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storms and tempests. I think we've all wanted out a time or two. But aren't there times when, because of circumstances, getting out and getting away just isn't feasible? We just have to admit that there are times in life when we just can't jump ship. When the high seas are raging, it's no time to change ships. But neither it is a time to give up. When you look at verse 21, in our text this morning in verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, ye should not have hearkened unto me and not have loosened from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. When you begin to go back and when you look at this story, many of these people had given up. Some of them just wanted to quit. But do you know why they quit? Because they were only looking for a way out. What makes you give up when times get tough? When times get rough? When you looked and you looked and you look for a way out but can't seem to find a way out. You get discouraged. And so discouraged that many times we just give up. But however, instead of looking for a way out, we had looked for a way through, then we would have not given up. So Paul stood before those hopeless sailors, and he gave them a pep talk. Notice what he tells them in verse 24. He said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told them. Howbeit, when we must be cast upon a certain island. Notice, he said, Paul, listen, you're going to be brought before Caesar. You must run around this certain island. In other words, God said, listen, Paul, you must go through it. Paul, stop looking. And so I encourage you this morning, stop looking for a way out. You're going to make it. You're going to make it by going through it and not trying to get out of it. So why does God allow us not to opt out of our storms of life? Why are our storms a required course in the Christian life? Two reasons. Number one, storms increase our faith in God. Notice what Paul says again in his in his talk, he says, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be bought." Before Caesar, in verse 25, "Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God." And when you begin to look at that, he recounts for these sailors how God sent an angel to deliver a message to him and to strengthen him during the storm. God gave Paul a promise regarding his personal storm, and God promised Paul that he would indeed appear before Caesar, which meant it wasn't his time to die yet. Listen here. I want to tell somebody, you will not die 1 minute sooner than God decides, nor 1 minute later than God decides. When God decides that it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. But you got to learn how to trust in God. You got to stay ready for when God calls you from labor to reward. And the safest place to be in this world is smack dab in the middle of God's will. I said the safest place, but it's not necessarily the easiest place. You see, Paul was in the middle. He was in the will of God for his life. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do, and yet God allowed a storm to come into Paul's life. Why? To build his faith in God. See, some of the most difficult storms you'll ever encounter in your life may be while you are in the middle of God's will. We have a tendency sometimes to look at somebody going through a hard time, and sometimes we'll say, "What stupid thing did you do to get into that? What sin did you commit to get God so angry at you?" When in reality, is that it's quite possible that you are doing exactly what God wants you to be doing. But then secondly, storm build our faith in God's goodness. Sometime when a storm comes in our lives, we question God's goodness. We wonder if God is really so good, then how come he's allowing such bad things to happen to me? In verse 24, Paul learned something about God. And what he learned is that God wasn't trying to scare him, but God was trying to save him. Did you know that God won't save you from the storms in your life until you give up on doing it yourself? We got to understand that. Verse 24, Paul recounts that the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Paul, you must appear before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all of those who sail with you." And so God turned what could have been a massive tragedy into a great victory. So the first thing that you're going to have to do if you're going to make it, you're going to make it as long as you look for a way through and not a way out. Secondly, if I'm going to make it, I got to learn how to thank God in my storms. I got to learn how to thank God in my storms. Have you learned to be thankful to God during the storms in your life? What do you mean? I mean, have you learned to look for the good in the midst of the bad? There was so much good that was happening to Paul, but at the same time, bad things was happening. And so Paul's storm provided him with an opportunity to get closer to Almighty God. See, storms usually do. When a storm comes in a Christian life, the Christian has two choices. Number one, they can pray or they can stray. You can pray or you can stray. Praying draws you closer to God. Straying pushes you away from God. So Paul prayed, and Paul's own testimony is this: for thou stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. So the storm provided Paul with yet another opportunity to draw closer to God, to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that how you see your storm this morning? A storm that draws you closer to God and not away from God? Do you see your storms as an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord? You have to admit this morning that however bad a storm gets, if it calls you to get closer to God, then at least one good thing has come out of it. You've got closer to Almighty God. So Paul was reminded that God would stand by him through his storms. And not only did God save Paul from death, but God also rescued the other 275 passengers that was with him. And so, if you're going to make it, the third thing that I suggest to you is this: stay connected to the ship. Stay connected to the ship. When you go down, drop down to verse 44, he says, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped. All safe to land. Did you notice something? Did you notice it said that some made it on boards? Some made it on broken pieces of the ship? But before they were able to survive the sea storm, this storm that they were in, they needed to stay on the ship. If we're going to survive the storm that we are in, we need to stay on the ship. But let me help you. Did you know where all the broken pieces and the boards came from? It came from the same ship. Y'all let this out. It came from the same ship. Now go back and look at it. Watch this. And the rest, some on boards. Y'all see, some was on boards. but some was on broken pieces. But they all escaped. Why? Because all the boards and all the broken pieces came from the same ship. What I like about being on the ship of Jesus Christ is that you don't have to worry about his ship being shipwrecked. Because at the captain of your soul, he knows how to navigate you through the storms of life. He knows how to strengthen you when you're being weak in the storm. He knows how to give you joy in the midst of your sorrow. He knows how to provide your needs in the time of your lack. He knows how to help you survive your storms in life, but you gotta stay on the ship. Your ship may be broken, it may be in pieces, but you stay on the ship. Because let me tell you, because in the ship of Jesus Christ, there is peace. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is healing. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is joy. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is blessings. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is deliverance. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is love. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is eternal life. In the ship of Jesus Christ, there is abundant life. But in the ship of Jesus Christ, there is salvation. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to make it, you better stay on the ship. And if you're not a child of God, you better get on the ship. And when you get on the ship, you need to stay on the ship. Even if your ship began to break, even if it has pieces, you stay on the ship of Jesus, because salvation is in the ship. Well, how do you get on the ship? I'm glad you asked this morning. In order to get on the ship of Jesus Christ, you got to hear God's Son. Matthew 17 and verse 5, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." You got to be willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then you can get on that old ship of Zion. Get on that ship. But then you got to stay on that ship. Because as you go through life, there are going to be some ups and there are going to be some downs. There are going to be some times that you feel good, and there are going to be some times when you don't feel good. There are going to be some time when you lose loved ones. But you better stay on that ship. Because that ship is taking you somewhere. If you stay on the ship, Revelation 2 and verse 10, it said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." If you're here this morning, maybe you have got off the ship. I tell you today, you better get back on the ship. Because you don't know when God's going to call you from labor to reward. Or you may be sitting there and you know you are not living like God wants you to live. You can sit there all you want to and fool folk, but you can't fool God. God knows how you're living. God knows what you've done. God knows what you've done this week. But he's giving you an opportunity today to get it right. So if you're going to make it, stay on the ship If you're not on the ship, get on the ship. Regardless if it tears up, that's all right. If I can find a broken piece, that's what I'm going to hold on to. If I can find a board, that's what I'm going to hold on to, because it's coming from the same ship. Come right now. If you stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come on down?
Pull out the door is
Father God in heaven, our Lord, we're so humble and thankful, Father, that we've had the opportunity this morning and the strength and the will to rise up out of our beds, Father, and to openly assemble together and be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful for the portion of Thy word that was brought to us this morning from our brother Norman. And Father, we pray that as we're on that ship of salvation, Father, and that the storms of life may assail us, we pray that we'll always have the strength to remain on that ship, Father, for we know that without You there is no hope for salvation. Our Lord, we're mindful of all those who are sick at this time, Father, whatever their ailment may be, maybe physical or mental, emotional, or especially spiritual, Father. We pray that You would continue to wrap Your arms around each and all that was mentioned here, Lord, that You would bless them as they stand in need, and if it would be Your will, that You could grant unto them the things that they need to return to their normal portion of health and strength and mindness, Father. Lord, we also pray for the bereaved at this time, Father, as well. Know that feeling could feel hopeless and lost, Father, but we pray that You would continue to wrap Your arms around them, Father, and let them know that You're there, Father, and that You'll carry them through. Our Lord, we're thankful for all the many rich and tremendous blessings of life that You've given each and every one of us, Father, and we're most thankful, Lord, for Thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, for His sacrifice at Calvary's cross, Father, for the shedding of blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus and his sacrifice. And we pray, Father, that the words and the deeds and the actions that we do in life would be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we're getting ready to depart here this morning, Father, we pray that you would just continue to watch over each and every one of us, Father, that you would bless us, that you would forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Father, as we turn away from those things and try our best to not do them anymore. And we pray, Father, that you would bless us to be back here at our next appointed time, Father. And we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.